I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Is a production of Dirty Mo Media. There he is. Come on in here, buddy. Have a seat. Hey, everybody. Glad you tuned in. It's time for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. Mike Davis, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the Bojangle Studio. We've got a great guest today. Well, how you doing, Red?
I'm doing fine right now.
This They're is every like, week, okay, bud? Buckle in.
Yeah.
You died on that hill. Yeah. Your career died on that hill, and you were hard-headed. You're a bigger idiot. I didn't even think about it. Oh. You thought about it and didn't ask.
That makes me the bigger idiot.
I think so. Hey, everybody, it's Dale Jr. back again for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download here in the Bojangle Studio with my co-host, Mike Davis. How's it going, Mike?
Doing well, man.
All right, man. It's Wednesday, September 27th, and we're going to take you guys to Lernerville Speedway. This week, we have a little bit different of a guest segment. The High Limit Sprint Car Series has invited all of us to come out and check out what this series is all about. I'm looking forward to it. I know Mike is as well. We're going to get a chance to talk to Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet today. We're going to understand a little bit about what this series is about. I want to thank Ally for giving us the opportunity to bring the guest segment to you every week. Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet. Brad actually raced for Junior Motorsports many, many years ago. So both of these guys are allies here at Dirty Mo Media. And we're going to have a blast. So let's get right to it. Let's head on over to Lernerville Speedway for the Dale Junior Download.
Y'all got to start it up there.
I think we're good.
We're good.
Testing. Yeah, I think we're good.
So I guess, you know, Mike.
Hold it down until it turns green.
I just mashed a button and it started working, Mike. You got a green light there? All right. You don't have to hold it, I don't think. I don't think you have to hold it. But, all right. Okay. All right. We'll get it tuned up. I guess, you know, the first question for me is what, you know, you guys have raced. Y'all raced on dirt forever together or against each other in different, you know, at different times in your careers. You end up going into stock cars and now, you know, made your way all the way to the Cup Series. I know why you race cars and I know why you compete, but why do you want to start a series? Tell me everything from how the conversations even started about, hey, could we do this? Why should we do this to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question and a great question. You know, I've been around dirt tracks for quite a while now, doing the World of Outlaw Tour 10 seasons. So, you know, it's a little awkward to kind of step out and be a series owner, you know, being a driver for so long. But, you know, Kyle has a really unique ability to, you know, draw fans from all facets to sprint car racing. And, you know, streaming is a big part of the world now of racing and owning a series. And, you know, Kyle presented me with an opportunity, a unique opportunity to try something out, a midweek series, something that could get him some more races, but also helps the local tracks, you know, because to have Kyle Larson come to a track and race, it brings way more eyes, it brings way more fans. And obviously his willingness to kind of do that all the time is very unique. And it created an opportunity for me as kind of a entrepreneur maybe or like someone on the business side maybe towards the end of my driving career that you know it was a no-brainer for me to kind of partner up with him and be that side of the business.
Who brought the idea to who?
So I mean it was kind of well you've always talked about like you need to have a series that's solely based around me or whatever, and I didn't really want that. You know, I wanted to help out the other racers really, and you know, I got to really my eyes opened to starting this deal when I started racing the late model. And, you know, Flow Racing has their Tuesday night late model series and, you know, pays 20-some thousand to win every Tuesday. And I was like, man, why wouldn't that work, you know, in sprint cars? The places are packed every week, you know, that I would run. And, you know, there's just a lot. There wasn't much midweek racing in sprint cars. And I just felt it was a good opportunity for others to race, you know, race more. You race, make money. The owners, you'll make money, all of that. So it's gone really well. I've enjoyed it. You know, obviously, you know, when we get great crowds like this, it's just great for all the teams, you know, with their merchandise and all that. And you know, I mean, we got like 60 cars in the pit area to race for 50 yeah. grand on a Tuesday, which is crazy. So, yeah, so it's been great.
So essentially, Kyle, instead of getting paid to show up, he, you know, brings the fans in and races for the purse. You know, so it's great for the racers. It's great for the fans. And you know, obviously, it's drawn a ton of new interest into the sport.
I really just wanted to kind of elevate not only just the midweek stuff, but I was hoping, you know, this would add, you know, pressure to the weekend shows to raise their purses as well. So I think we've seen a big step in that this year, and I think it's going to continue forward. So I would say so far it's been successful.
So entering into ownership of a series comes with a lot of, you know, challenges. What's been probably the most surprising or most difficult thing to navigate that you didn't, you know, I mean, owning the Cars Tour in North Carolina, you know, there's so many people to please. Not now, you know, when you're a racer, you show up and you worry about your own people, but now you're handling all of the other competitors have concerns. Your tech folks have concerns. The track, the promoters, they have concerns. So what's been the biggest challenge?
I think that managing expectations for racers and, you know, being new, you know, making some mistakes along the way, making some people mad in the pit area and, you know, not being organized, you know, when we had a bigger crowd than we were expecting at the ticket office, you know, and, you know, just trying to navigate each and every weekend, you know, learning from our mistakes. But, you know, quite a few things have happened where I think each show we've gotten better, but it's definitely a challenge, you know, starting from square one with a small team. We're just a small group of people that come out and try to run these shows on Tuesday night. So that's been a challenge booking shows. You know, each promoter is different. Each racetrack operator is different. So there's just a lot of people involved in a lot of different relationships that you have to try to navigate to keep everybody happy across the board, race teams, racetracks, you know, everybody alike.
What is the, you know, what is the probably most difficult thing about midweek races? Is that not only for the fans, but also, you know, the crew guys and everybody that these are blue collar people, they have jobs, they have responsibilities outside of what they do at the racetrack. And so, you know, having a midweek race, how do you navigate those type of challenges?
Well, some of the things that have been really good for the industry is adding some things that are traveling from race to race. We're able to add a midweek show. And a lot of these guys do make a living out here racing, but a lot of them don't. And so that is a challenge, you know, knowing who is going to come to the race, you know, which guys. So being strategic how we schedule the races is, you know, a key element. You know, fans, I think on a Tuesday night, it's always a challenge with the weather, with the streaming service now, you know, they got to go to work or kids got to go to school. So you never know what your crowds are going to be like. So those are probably the two biggest challenges. It's just, you know, we're offering up big money. So we're trying to make sure we have big crowds and big car counts and put on, you know, next level type shows here.
No, knowing how much anxiety you have over different things like this, it's making me even a little nervous. Because this is a pretty ambitious venture, right? Like you started a whole series, and now you guys are, y'all got that similarities. Now here's my question for you guys. I know you've been racing together for a long time, but had you guys ever been in business together? Have y'all been business partners on anything? And if so, I want to know what you guys think of each other as business partners.
That's a good question. We did, you know, what started this series probably a little bit too was that we took over a racetrack, both of our home track in California, Silver Dollar Speedway. I've always been ambitious to take that track over and rebuild one of the events. The Gold Cup was always a really big event on the West Coast, and it's kind of died off. So we were able to kind of team up him, myself, and another partner, Colby Copeland, and, you know, with some other great help out there and our families. And that was what kind of started our first business endeavor. He more helped on the likeness side and coming out and supporting, but you know, that was our first kind of thing that we did together. And I can tell you a racetrack is one of the hardest things to ever do, to own a racetrack or run a racetrack is it's like five or six businesses in one. So honestly, the series came second, and that was actually a little bit less of a challenge just because the racetrack was, you know, taught me so many lessons that I kind of knew what I was getting into. And then it also helped me look at when I'm booking races and going to a racetrack, it helped me look at it from a promoter's you know, lens. And that helps when you come to these places knowing all the challenges of owning a racetrack.
So owning the track was tougher?
Owning the track is tougher so far. Obviously, our series is growing and it's young and we've only done, you know, 10 races. So I'm sure there's many growing pains and many challenges ahead of us. But night in and night out, owning a racetrack is a more challenging business. It's harder to make money. It's, you know, it's the ticketing, the staff, you know, it's ordering the beer, it's having a restaurant, which is your food concessions, it's having equipment work on the racetrack, it's having officials, it's having the payout ready, it's having, you know, so many different things, and we just dove into it. So, you know, those were some, you know, good lessons to be learned before doing a series, and I think it's really helped us, you know, through this first year with the challenges, for sure.
Was it a foregone conclusion, Kyle, that when this y'all decided to do this, that you would commit to every single race?
Yeah, you know, that was the reason why I have it at midweek. You know, it's easy for me to get to. Thankfully, Hendrick Motorsports is very accommodating, too, with my schedule, and knowing that these races are really important to me and my brand and all of that. So, yeah, that was the number one goal, was for me to run all of these, and it's gone well. We have a points system, so you know, I'm leading the points right now. Rico's, I think, only 30 points behind me or so. So I would like to beat him, but we're doing the business stuff has been fun. You know, and Brad, I we joke with him. I don't know if anybody got young kids. You do. I'm sure you've watched Sing, right? So he reminds me of is it Buster?
Buster Moon,
the promoter right on there. He's like the little guy and. Will not take no for an answer, super ambitious, big ideas, and is really successful at the end of the movie with all that. So I've learned to just let Brad's ideas go, and they're usually right, and it's been fun. You know, I feel like it's brought our families a lot closer. We were already obviously really close, but it's brought Rachel, his wife, much closer to all of us, and it's just been fun. It's been fun getting to do it all and in the track, going to Gold Cup a few weeks ago was a blast. And it's been a really good time.
Cal, you got to tell us, all right? We're all amongst friends here, right? We have been at Hendrick Motorsports. Dale drove for him forever, right? I got to know the secret to getting Rick Hendrick to agree to this. How do you get them to do that?
I was super nervous. Obviously, everything happened to me. And then I met with Rick and Jeff, and we talked, and they're like, "Well, what's important to you? What do you want? And what do you want out of this deal if we sign you?" I was like, "Man, I would just like to race sprint cars still."
That's so funny. Dale Jr. said he wanted rides on the helicopter to Martinsville and Darlington. That was important to him.
That and painted side skirts.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I should have aimed a little higher.
Yeah, I was like, man, this is gonna be the end of it. Like, I've got this Hendrick Motorsports opportunity in front of me, and I'm gonna kill it by telling them I want to race sprint cars still. But thankfully, the schedule is way different now than when you were full time. Like, back then, you were testing all the time. You were practicing on Fridays and Saturdays, racing Sundays. Now we get 20 minutes of practice, if that. Like this week, we go to Talladega, we just qualify and race. So I think the teams are now seeing that it's harder for your driver to stay sharp, with the limited track time. So I think it's a way for it's risky racing, letting your driver race sprint cars and dirt stuff and all that, but. I think they see the upside of it, staying sharp and racing and all that. So, and in 2021, my first year at Hendrick, it obviously went really good, winning the championship, and I raced more that year than I ever have. So,
that's called leverage.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, it's gone good. I'm appreciative of it for sure.
Experience the thrill of the racetrack like you're in the driver's seat with DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on your favorite racers and feel the rush of every pass, pit stop, and victory like never before. Right now, new customers can turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Bet $5 on anything to score big, no matter what goes down on the racetrack. Check out Dirty Mo' Dough every Thursday, where they will handicap the field and recommend bets to watch for during the upcoming race. With props, parlays, and more, you'll have bets to follow all race long. The racing action doesn't stop till the checkered flag drops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and join with code DALE. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code DALE
only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. For state-specific disclaimers, check the show notes. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/autoracing for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. What goes around comes around, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. For the first time ever, Dirty Mo Media is taking its hit podcast to the streets. We'll be live, and we'll be in front of real people. Uncensored, unapologetically authentic, and totally unprepared, so it's business as usual. But here's the catch. We'll be talking about our real lives and racing like we never have before, stories that we never dreamed would be broadcast in front of a live audience. Until now. And the only way to hear these stories is by coming to Dirty Mo Live, Dale Jr. and Friends, at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's Friday, October the 13th. Go to dirtymomedia.com/live or Ticketmaster to join me and Mike Davis from the Dale Jr. Download and Brett Griffin, Freddie Kraft, and TJ Majors from Door Bumper Clear, and we're going to spill the tea on each other. When you have decades-long careers in NASCAR, you have highlights, lowlights, and more stories than you know what to do with. For example, the time me and Mike Davis got in an argument during the race, or the time that TJ Majors went completely radio silent on me while spotting for me during an event. Yeah, we're going to hear those stories and more. So come out to the Westgate Resort and Casino on Friday, October 13th, to see Dirty Mo Live, Dale Jr. and Friends. Get your tickets on Ticketmaster or visit dirtymomedia.com/live. That's dirtymomedia.com/live to get your tickets, or you can find them on Ticketmaster. Come join us on Friday, the 13th, for Dirty Mo Live, Dale Jr. and Friends. Things are bound to get crazy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So, you know, how do you decide how many races you're going to run and how do you manage a schedule? Because I know you don't run every race. Right. So tell us how it takes that.
Yeah. So I run the Outlaw Tour, and this is kind of the first year that High Limits has come onto the stage. So the Outlaws didn't really love the High Limit series because it's viewed a little bit as a challenge to them with our higher purses and, you know, middle of the week, and their drivers are, you know, like myself, are wanting to race these races. So the Outlaws went ahead and made a rule that you could run four races outside of their series and keep their benefit package. You know, so this is one of my four races that I'll be running outside of that, which is for $50,000 to win here on a Tuesday night, which is super cool. But yeah, we chose 12 this year because, for one, that fit kind of Kyle's schedule. It was just enough that it, you know, kind of we got to fill it out. You know, anything less, I think, wouldn't have been enough, and anything more would have felt a little too much to be middle of the week, because then we're out here, you know, too many middle of the week. So yeah, I mean, we'll just learn from this year and kind of see what happens.
And so when you're not driving, You're literally just a series owner navigating around in the whole property. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of the next chapter of my life. You know, I mean, as you get older and kind of start thinking about what the next chapter is going to be.
You've mentioned that twice.
Yeah.
So what are we, you going to retire soon?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, from driving, I don't see myself racing, you know, too many
more years.
He's a
lot older than he looks, too.
I don't believe it. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago he's racing in our Xfinity cars, so I know he's not too old.
I'm 37 now. And,
good Lord.
Yeah.
Got all kinds of time.
I know, but, you know, having a little girl and being away on the road, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, kind of, I've been on the road racing for 10 years. So I just feel like it's, I've really enjoyed kind of the art of the show, right? Like, I really think there's some innovation. I really love our product, and I really think that it could be showcased, you know, a lot better and, you know, more efficient. And, you know, I just think it's my turn to take my shot here. And, you know, I'll keep racing for as long as I need to keep racing. But I'm definitely very enthusiastic and excited about running the series and hopefully helping elevate the whole sport of sprint car racing.
I had the chance to talk to Casey Kane years ago on my podcast, and he was just getting back into racing on dirt. And I thought, man, you know, you can hop in there and get right to it and run right up front. You know, just it'll be nothing. You got a great team. And he told me, he's like, you know, it's a little bit different in that style of racing. It takes months. You got to beat. They're doing it every night of the week over and over and over. And it takes you so long to be able to sort of get back up to speed and understand what's going on the racetrack and the car and the way the tracks are changing and so forth. And so I guess to that point, you can't kind of have a part-time schedule, right? And be as competitive as you want. Now, this guy's an anomaly.
Unless you're he's an alien, or whatever he's got going on. But yeah, to your point, for sure, it's you're kind of all in, right? I mean, if you want to be a professional sprint car racer, you have to be out here to make a living, you know, to really make a meaningful living. You need to be out here each and every night, you know, battling it out and build a really great race team. And, you know, this is a lot of elite talent dirt racers that have spent many, many years out here honing their skills. So, you know, I know it's taken me a long time to get to the level that I've gotten to. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the point, is when you're at the top level for so long, you know, you start to, you know, it takes a lot mentally, physically, for me to compete with this guy who makes it look so easy. But, you know, the reality is it does take a lot of yourself, you know, away from your family.
It's 90 races a year that they're running. So, I mean, you think about the time away from home, and you know, there's no private jets and all that. So it's a grind for sure, and especially you living in California too. Most of the races are Midwest, East Coast. So it's
your
difficult
life. I mean, it's your life on the road. I mean, you spend 200 and something days in a hotel, and you're driving around. And, you know, it's definitely, you have to be very passionate about it, and it's definitely what I dreamt of doing, was being a champion, and you know, I've accomplished that, and you know, I definitely am excited, you know, to have this opportunity to own a series and try to elevate the sport even higher, which is really cool.
I hear you. I do hear y'all, and I believe you. However, a few weeks ago, I saw a 48-year-old lead like 47 laps in the Xfinity Series race before he decided to start a campfire in the floorboard of his car. So I'm just saying, I think it still can be done on a competitive level. Yeah. Maybe be a little selective on races.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just never really know what the future holds. You know, right now I'm committed to racing. I love racing. I'm committed to beating Kyle tonight. I'm committed to winning this 50 grand.
That's what we want to talk about.
I'm excited. But if we're talking about the series, I can get just as excited about that too.
So you talk about, you know, having these grand ideas. What's next? What are some of the things I think, you know, you guys can improve on? But what are some of the big brain ideas that you've never seen at a race like this that you want to create?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to tell all our secrets, but we definitely have some good ideas, I think. I think efficiency in the shows could be better.
So to that point, that's all I hear about High Limit, is how well run the show is. And I think you guys, I think listening to y'all talk about it, that was a main point when y'all built this series, was to make it quick and sufficient. And so that's one of the things that everybody claims is one of the highlights of the series.
Yeah, I mean, that's great that we're getting that type of feedback. I mean, you know, it's a new challenge each and every night that you come to the racetrack, but it's just trying to do a little bit of everything better. You know, it's trying to, you know, elevate the purses. It's, you know, trying to build more events. It's more than just a race. You know, there's camping or concerts or whatever it may be. It's, you know, the efficiency of the show. So when a new fan does come, they don't get disengaged, you know, halfway through the night. Or you bring little kids out and they're asleep in their dad's arms at 10 o'clock on a cold night. You know, it's just doing everything a little bit better. It's thinking about you fans. It's you know, it's thinking about the product that we're putting out and more consistently good, because right now it's a little bit inconsistent and you sometimes don't know what you're going to see based off the track conditions or based off of what support classes are there or who's running the show. So, you know, our brand, we want to be associated with efficiency, we have a high quality product and something that maybe has never been seen before on a consistent basis.
What has the most positive effect on your car counts? Like, what is the one thing that y'all try to do to create, you know, the best car count? Is it all about the purse? What is the most effective thing?
I would say purse and who's location, running your show, location. Middle of the week obviously helps the car count because you're not really competing against anything else. So we've definitely learned some stuff about the middle of the week shows that we maybe didn't anticipate, but much higher car counts than we were anticipating.
you know, the streaming numbers are better, viewership's higher because you're not competing against anything on a weekend. So definitely the midweek thing, there's been some great things about it. But yeah, the car count, I think, gets affected by, yeah, just location. There's pockets of sprint cars across the country that there's areas. Central Pennsylvania is very popular.
Yeah.
Over here, they have a good, you know, local contingency of cars. And, you know, so some of that, like if we try to go too far west or too far south, you could run into, you know, way less cars available.
So what is the geographic footprint?
It's nationwide, but there's just places that are like late model country, and then there's
Carolina.
Places.
We probably couldn't have a race with 35 cars.
We used to go to Charlotte in May right before the Coke 600, and there'd be like 18 cars, you know,
and
probably 1,200 fans.
Yeah.
So how do you determine? When you create the series, you reach out to racetracks, you create partnerships. Now that people are starting to see the success of the series and how well you guys are doing, how good your streaming numbers are, what has been the response from other racetracks that aren't on the series that want to be there?
Extremely high. The phone gets really busy now. You know, now that we've kind of showcased our product and people have seen how beneficial it has been for, you know, local dirt tracks in other places, and, you know, those promoters want big shows. You know, that's what keeps these racetracks alive, is all these fans coming out on a Tuesday night and really, you know, elevating the racetrack, because these tracks, they're running year round, but there's only a few nights a year that they can actually make this type of money or be profitable to keep them running. So we're definitely getting a lot of great feedback, and we're trying to be really strategic in how we book shows, because you don't want to oversaturate any markets. You definitely want to, you know, keep the fans wanting to see us. We don't want to come here 10 times and then they're burnt out, and then, you know, or we're racing right around the corner and then it hurts both shows. So there's a lot of strategy to how we book them, and obviously Lernerville here, this is a hotbed sprint car place, and they haven't had a really big sprint car race in a few years, and obviously Kyle coming, you coming, the High Limit Series, it's, you know, there's a lot of excitement about tonight, around tonight.
You know, I Dale and I were talking on the way in, and we were wondering, you know, like, some of the why, right? Why Lernerville? All we had to do was pull in this front stretch here, and we got that answer. To be honest with you, this is an amazing crowd here. These are passionate fans. They ought to be commended for this, for sure. So we got answered. But can you speak to the passion that you guys feel that we don't need? We haven't figured out in North Carolina yet, but Dale and I are going to be ambassadors for you now. We're going to go back and we're going to say, hey, the guys in Pennsylvania know how to do this right. Just tell us, what is it about this fan base?
Honestly, Kyle could probably answer, because he goes into a lot of late model races and sprint car races. So there's just, dirt racing is a little bit divided. Like, I think there's like a misconception that you can't be a late model fan and a sprint car fan, or you either like NASCAR and you can't like dirt. But like, one thing that Kyle has done really well for the whole industry is he has crossed the fans over. I used to never watch a light model race. I was a lot less engaged with NASCAR, and now I'm a lot more engaged with NASCAR. I hadn't watched a Cars Tour race. I turned on a Cars Tour race because, you know, Kyle has that ability and that uniqueness that he makes every race a little bit better. So anytime he's able to do that, it helps. But he knows the fan base, and here's like what late model fans and sprint car fans. I'm a little bit, you know, living in this world, so maybe you could probably speak on what, you know, why it doesn't work in certain areas, or it's just the way it's been.
I mean, I've never raced a sprint car in the Carolinas, but I don't know. I don't know why it's not bigger there. But late model racing is huge there. But you know, I have seen over the last few years, since I have transitioned to running more late model shows, I do see the crossover, and I love seeing NASCAR shirts at the dirt tracks, you know, because every night I race a dirt race, I bet 10 fans that come up to me like, this is my first ever dirt race I've gone to, and that makes me happy, you know, because it makes me feel like I'm doing something positive for the overall broad spectrum of motorsports, you know, growing, and I don't, like Brad said, I don't want there to be a fan that only likes a certain type of, you know, category of car. I want racing to just be one, and I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface on getting that, but you know, it's a goal of mine. I feel like it's part of my brand, and what I like to do is just grow racing by racing. So I don't know what, you know, maybe we just have to start scheduling high limit races in the Carolinas
there
to
we go.
Get the fans. There's some amazing racetracks in, you know, the South.
Well, if Dale will come, we will be.
I mean, that late model show we run at Bulls Gap before Bristol is huge. I ran it like Tazewell is an amazing track. A sprint car around there would be insane. We would probably turn in low 9 second laps around there. So there's some awesome places. And I think if late model fans, you know, would just come and experience it and see the speed and the craziness, the danger of it, I think that, you know, they would fall in love with it. Just like I fell in love with late model racing, because it's just a different style, different form, and you just got to give it a chance.
All right, how are you going to beat Brad tonight?
I don't know. I don't even know where I drew. I don't know when I go out to qualify, any of that. So we'll see. Brad's really good here. The last time Brad raced here, I think he won. It was a good battle with you, me, and Donnie. We were all kind of three right there at the end. Maybe Donnie snuck by you. I don't know.
Not that one, but I did win, I think, the last Commonwealth Clash here. I might have, like, 2 years ago.
Brad's been good here lately. He's
Brad's good.
And Brad,
he's just good.
And Brad loves money. Brad loves
and
money.
And he wants that money. That's right.
He shows up. He's a points racer. I joke with him these days. You know, he's been on the Outlaw Tour so long. He's just a points racer. But when the money's on the line, he can raise it, you know, elevate himself to perform. So
no points on the line tonight.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's just money on his mind.
He's points racing tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds right. Right.
Exactly. No, I want to put him in some awkward.
There's
positions.
So many good competitors. There's so many good competitors in the pit area. I mean, Gravel, Rico, Brent Marks. I don't even know. I haven't been in the pits yet, so I don't even know who's here. But Brown, I mean, there's a lot of good. AJ Flick, you know, local guy. Cy Lynch. You know, there's going to be a lot of tough cars. There's going to be guys that could win any night of the week that'll miss the show tonight. That's how tough the field is. Spit holler, yeah.
I guess you know that. Let's get into tonight. What can we expect from this racetrack? The temperatures. What kind of racetrack we're gonna have?
I think we're gonna see some.
I don't know what
possibly,
the track record is.
Yeah,
but.
Possible track record speeds here. I mean, the cooler temperatures, our engines are gonna be running good. The track's definitely wetter than it typically would be, but they do a great job. They keep it really hard, and it's hard to ever read it because they're gonna just keep packing it. So it looks pretty wet right now. I think we're gonna have some high speed. You're gonna want to qualify good because I think it might be a little bit hard to pass until the main event, but. This track usually, once we get to the main event, it's usually pretty racy.
That's what's cool about dirt racing is you don't know. Like, you don't know what you're going to get, you know, before you go to the track. Like, pavement race, you know, like, roughly the line you're going to run, roughly the lap times you're going to run, you know, what lap the tires start to fade. Like, you don't know any of that when you show up to a dirt track. So that's what I think is really cool. I think that's what, you know, makes these dirt racers really good, too, because you always have to adapt.
Yeah, and that's what keeps, like, the engineering out of it, too. Like, there's no way to engineer your car or pull it down or, you know, run some simulation because, like, there might be a hole that wasn't here last time we came here, or it might be twice as fast wet-wise, or, you know, it's just there's so many variables that change how you do your car. The human element in dirt racing is everything. It's you, your crew chief, and your crew guys, you know, just making decisions, you know, on the fly that kind of separates the really good guys, and that's why experience is so important in dirt track racing.
Well, we are excited to see what happens tonight. Thank you guys for giving us some time today in front of these fans. We're all excited to be here, right? It's going to be a hell of a show. And thankfully, we got some great weather. And again, man, you two guys are doing some great work and raising the platform and elevating the platform of motorsports across the board. And we're learning a lot from you. You know, I've been picking your brain, and even just tonight, just learning a little bit about this series, being here will help me go back and make our series better. So everybody's watching you guys, and everybody's pulling for you. So thanks for tonight. Let's have some fun.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks Dale, too. I mean, coming into our area, we got to give him some love.
Man, I'm really excited to have Ally help us bring the guest segment every week. It's one of my favorite parts of the download. We get to talk to so many different people in racing, outside of racing. But everybody that comes in here, I want them to have had a good time. I want them to want to come back. I want them to feel like an ally to Dirty Mo Media. Thank you, Ally, for your continued support of the download and the entire Dirty Mo Media team. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.